Welcome to the Mind Her Business podcast, the go-to podcast for female entrepreneurs looking to scale their business while taking care of your mindset, your health, and your family. Honestly, just trying to keep your head above water.
So go ahead and pour yourself a cup of coffee or make your favorite cocktail. We don't judge. It's time to become the holistic CEO you're meant to be.
Jacqueline, welcome to the Mind Her Business podcast.
I'm so glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We are so excited that you're here. Do you mind just telling everyone a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. So I'm Jacqueline Snyder. I am the founder and host of The Product Boss and The Product Boss Podcast. And that is a podcast, community, courses, mastermind place for product-based business owners. So people who make products and sell them. And really, we have a huge community. It's majority female, because I really speak from the perspective of like the female perspective, and also the idea of blending the business that you desire to have, this creative business, with the life you want to live, right? I don't believe in balance, but I think like more of the blend situation. Mm-hmm. And I can only speak from what I know.
I love that so much. And I feel like that's in such alignment with what we teach on our side, is really building a business that works with your life. And so I love you saying blending. Before we jump in, because you're wearing a lot of hats, you're running a business, you're a mom, I want to know, what is your morning routine? I'm always so interested to know how people start their day.
God, I hate people in morning routines.
Okay, so then we definitely need to know your morning routine, because this is going to be brutally honest and make me feel a lot better about myself. Okay. So go for it.
I when I listen to people, they're like, I get up at 5 a.m. and then I meditate and then I journal and then I do this. And I'm like, where are your children? Yes. I have 2 school age kids. And so it's very hard to have a morning routine, because I'm usually yelling at my son to get out of bed. My daughter's like crawls into bed with me and wants to cuddle. So I'm like, I can't kick her out. She's 8, but you know. Oh. And so it's sort of, really, honestly, I like to sleep in. Before I had kids, early was 9 a.m. So
I love that. I love this so much.
Okay, good. I told you, I'm real. I can't fake it. So 7 a.m. is when we get up. And I'm always like, God, if I woke up, you know, people are like, get up before your kids and work out. I'm like, I'm never going to do it. So, so 7 a.m. I get up and I walk down in my pajamas and I go straight to the coffee machine. And then I tell my son to get out of bed 75 million times. And then my daughter's like, she's so on it. So she's upstairs. So let's just say the first hour of my day is telling my kids to get ready and do the same thing I've told them every day of their life, mm-hmm. and drinking coffee, mm-hmm. and then getting them to school. Mm-hmm. And then when I get them out of the house, it's about 8 a.m. I'm either going to walk with my husband and our dogs. And it's like a quick 20-minute walk, like take the kids to school, walk, and then we kind of connect, and then move on with our day. Some of the days I have to start work at 8. My team is all over the world, actually. And so, you know, most of them are East Coast and I'm West Coast. So sometimes I'm on an 8 o'clock call. Sometimes I'm on a 7 o'clock call and I miss all of it. In my ideal world, I would work out in the morning. So I would have, I used to have a trainer. Without that trainer, I haven't worked out since. So. So I'll eat in that hour and then I might work out. I did get an office outside of the house. So that is my workout. Like I'm walking to work, and that's like my first part. And then I probably kick off work around 10 a.m. and then I will probably work until about 4 or 5. So, you know, I don't have the best morning routine and I always dream about having it, but I think I either have to squeeze part of it in as a natural process, mm-hmm. to walking to work, or walking my dogs, like I have to tack things on to things, mm-hmm. that I already have to do. And then I will say like my self-care and all that might happen more in the late afternoon to early evening.
So you still have a routine.
Yeah.
Even if it's not the routine that everybody paints, you know exactly what's going to happen every single day.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess it's a routine because I have to get to work at a time, right? Like I have meetings, I have schedules. I do tell my team that if I were to have it my way, I wouldn't have calls until 10. I am a slow morning person. So if I could start around 10, then it's better for me, because then I have this gap in the morning. But I realized the other day, I really need something to anchor into, mm-hmm. like in the morning to get me started, or else it will be a way slower morning. And I'm like, what am I doing myself? Right. So that's the honest truth of my mornings.
I love it though, because this is something we've talked about a lot, is when I first went out on my own, I fell into the whole like bro mornings where you wake mm-hmm. up at 4 a.m. because they're telling you that that's what you mm-hmm. have to do to be successful. And you're just go, go, go. And so I love hearing from other women in this space who have built super successful businesses that like
have a normal
routine. Can have a normal morning and everything's going to be okay. I think that's also like such a good reminder for our people.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm yelling at my husband. I'm like, all these guys you follow with their morning routines. I'm like, where are their wives?
Right.
They're with the kids.
Or don't have them.
Right.
Or don't have them.
You know, so it's yes. a single guy.
And I'm really fortunate that like my husband is a morning person. So he gets up and he actually does do the lunches. So so again, my job is like to get the kids ready. But yeah, I think we all have to give ourselves a little bit of grace to, everyone can tell you the perfect way to do something, mm-hmm. but you have to figure out what works for you and your body and your flow. Are you a night person? Are you a morning person? Then see, and for me, it just works better with being a mom of two kids and wanting to be as present as I can. How do I tack these things onto the things I'm already doing?
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. I want to take it back to just your business. How did you get into, you know, the product-based business space and educating and coaching so many women on how to build these businesses? I would love to hear more about that.
So I'm actually a fashion designer. So I went to school. I have a four-year degree, a bachelor's of fine arts, and I majored in fashion. And I actually got hired out of school to work for a pretty big company. So I ended up moving. I was in Florida, actually. Moved from LA to Florida. I thought I was going to be in New York as a designer. But I was given a really cool opportunity to work for Cosabella, which is an Italian lingerie mm-hmm. company. And when I got there, they were like, you're in charge of swimwear and you're in charge of our ready-to-wear. And it was insane because they had major celebrities like Sarah Jessica Parker, Jessica Simpson at like the height of Jessica Simpson time.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, all these people were wearing this brand. And so I was put into this role that I, you know, maybe shouldn't have been. Mm-hmm. Meaning like I should have been just selecting threads to match fabric mm-hmm. versus actually designing and creating and all the things. So I was very fortunate that I was given this opportunity really at a young age. And then I was hired from them by a celebrity. And then she had like this small business. She won an Emmy Award. Like she's a big celebrity, but it was during the celebrity clothing line time. Same thing. We were three of us and I was the designer and I was in charge of everything. So it was almost like I was given huge opportunities at companies that were still run by the owners. They weren't super corporate. Like some of my friends went to Abercrombie or Gap or Nike. And that would have been more of the typical corporate ladder. Mm-hmm. But I decided to leave working for her when I was about 26. It didn't work well for my own mental health, actually. I started having panic attacks and all this stuff. So I was like, I need to leave this situation. I'm a designer. This is my who I am. And I started interviewing at really big companies. I interned with one of like the biggest designers in LA. And then during that time, my neighbor in the building that I was in with the celebrity brand, she had a maternity line. And she's like, hey, do you want to come like assist me while you figure out your next job? And while we were doing that, we kind of came up with this idea to help other people design and develop and produce clothing lines. And so she actually ended up pregnant with her second kid while we were kind of starting this out. We had three clients. I was 26 years old, but I knew a little bit more than other people.
Yeah.
And so she's like, if you want to just take the clients and do it, then you just do it. So my parents are entrepreneurial. And so my mom's like, just do it. Like, don't go work for someone else. Try it. So that's actually my other company, Designer Consulting Co-op, which I've had since 2007. And that is where I designed, developed, and produced over 2,000 fashion brands.
Wow.
So I always say I've designed like that many more than most people, where they would come to me with an idea. I would be their designer, but I'd develop it and produce it and then help them sell it. And then in that time, I also created my own called Cuffs Couture. And that was a wearable wrist wallet. And that one, I ended up selling like Kim Kardashian wore it, Carrie Underwood wore it multiple times at Country Music Awards and on a music video, Carly Rae Jepsen, all these celebrities. And so, you know, I had done it that way. And then I had Cuffs. And the interesting thing about Cuffs is I had my two kids and I was like, there's no way I can keep doing all of these things. Mm-hmm. And because Cuffs Couture was sort of, our phones kept getting bigger. They used to be like Zoolander mm-hmm. size phones mm-hmm. for any of my Zoolander fans. And then our phones turned into computers.
Yeah.
Like, what do I say? Like, where do you put the phone with this wearable wrist wallet because it's supposed to be a supplement to a bag. Like, I'm super chill. I don't want a lot of stuff with me, which might be a later question. So, you know, that's actually where I had found my business partner who I founded the Product Boss with through a women's group, through a podcast where she was selling product on Amazon. And I was like, I want to clear out cuffs. Can I sell them on Amazon? And then that just started a friendship where we're like, nobody's talking to product-based people. Mm-hmm. Who's telling them what to do? And that's what originated the podcast. Now, I own the company now. I bought her out last year, so it is fully me. But that's really like the origin story of how I went from being a designer to helping other people to doing my own line to then realizing there's not this like mass education for product-based business owners across the board, not only fashion, but anyone who makes something and sells it. And the podcast was really just a Friday fun project that then turned into a huge, huge, huge company, which I'm so glad and fortunate to have had, and never knew I never knew we'd have this impact or the fact that I'd be 43 with a multi-million dollar business when mm-hmm. I started at 37, right? So it's been quite a wild ride, but it's been so amazing.
That's so fun. I love the evolution mm-hmm. and how you personally have just gone from different business ideas mm-hmm. to different business ideas. Cause I see so many people get stuck in the, okay, oh my gosh, I know I want to do something in the online space, or I know I want to start my own business, but they're almost paralyzed by making the decision of mm-hmm. doing something. And I think all of us in this space know that it's just going to evolve, mm-hmm. right? We start doing one thing and we're going to end on something else. So I always love hearing these stories because I feel like it's going to ring true for everybody in our space. Like, just start, just kind of start, you know, you'll eventually find your footing and something else in it. You'll be led down a different path. So that's
so
cool.
I also think you can also just stop, right? Like there's another, like I'm actually closing DCC this year after over 15 years. And it's like, I think there's, and I told my husband this the other night, I was like, I thought designer consulting co-op was going to be the thing that I retired on. I never even, again, at 37, I had my two kids. I was like, this is what I'm doing.
Yep.
But then the Product Boss was this idea that then grew. So I think a lot of us think we're done at all different points of our life. Like, oh, I'm in my 30s, I'm done. Oh, I'm in my 40s, I'm done. I have a product-based business owner. She's got a company called Copper Hummingbird. She was a zookeeper for 30 years and then came out with a hummingbird feeder company. So she's at another, like a later stage in her life. She's not old by any means, but imagine 30 years of a career. Mm-hmm. And then now she has something that BuzzFeed doesn't stop talking about, right? So I think we have to kind of let go of that idea of like time is limited, or just be flexible to life. Like, mm-hmm. what era are we in? Like, let's just do our Taylor Swift eras, right? Like, just keep going.
I love that.
No, absolutely. And I think that ties, we've talked about this before. I know personally, I just put all these wild expectations on myself that, and they're just, it could be something as simple as the morning, right? If my morning doesn't go exactly how I want it to, then everything's thrown off because it's just an expectation I put. And so I feel like that's the same thing. Like, I think especially, I don't know, I don't want to talk for all women, but I know we sometimes forget that like, hey, we started these businesses. We can also stop them. We mm-hmm. can decide where this goes. And just, is this still ultimately like feeding our long-term vision? I think that's such an important check-in. I would love to dive into like the digital marketing and selling mm-hmm. side, because you don't grow businesses to the size that you have without knowing how to sell at the end of the day. So I would love to just kind of dive into, what are you currently seeing when it comes to selling online? And then also, what are you seeing with the businesses that you're working with?
Well, it's definitely harder. I feel like
yes.
this is the most resistance I've felt in a long time. I think the 2020 bubble, you know, people freaked mm-hmm. out in 2020, and then all of a sudden it was like the best year yet ever. Yeah. That's actually the year we hit our first $1 million. First, we were like, at the beginning of the year, like, wah, wah, we're never going to hit it, to holy moly by October. And then, you know, the world hasn't stopped changing beneath our feet, which is normal.
Yeah.
It sucks. So like, I've mastered it. Oh, wait. I think that, you know, through the breakup, the dissolve we dissolved our partnership and through all that, and we're still friends. So just so everybody knows, like, we love each other. We just professed our love to each other like 2 days ago. We're like, I miss you. I love you. Like, we're so grateful that we had this time together and that we built this company together. And we also know that paths diverge. So that's another example of things that I've done and then ended, but it doesn't ever have to be dramatic in a bad way. But last year, I feel like we got a little too salesy. So we tried to go full on into our signature program is Multi-Stream Machine. It's a do-it-yourself course. And we've had like over 4,000, almost 5,000 people in there.
Wow.
But we talked about it all the time. And the biggest transition that I've done since then is I've started to just show my expertise more. And not be so salesy. And what's crazy, and like just give, give, give. I know they always talk about this, but what's crazy is people are coming to me and like, how can I pay you to work with you one-on-one? How can I sign up for this? And so it's this like magnetic sort of energy that's happening because it's a little less of that like brute force pushing sell, sell, sell to serve. I know this is like a Gary Vee thing, but like serve, serve, serve. And then, and it's true, it works actually. So even on social media, you know, we're trying to like, there's things that we're posting that are things that they can use. So for product-based business owners, you know, we'll do like a quote or something, but the quote might be like, when you support a small business, you know, you support a family or something. And it has nothing to do with the product boss, but then we see that being shared and saved by so many people because we're actually in service to them to give them a piece of content to share on their platform. Or recently the podcast has really switched over. They're really fun to listen to. And we've seen like massive growth. I've been coaching people on the podcast instead. So before I used to hold all this information, like you have to buy a course from me. But now I'm like, just listen to these stories of other people that are just like you and coaching. So I would say that a lot more stories, a lot more serving. I'm going to switch things up a little bit because I think people's tolerance for being online is waning. So we've always had 5-day challenges that this time felt harder to get people to stay consistent in than it ever has because they're living their lives again. Thank God we can like leave the house and do all the things. So I think there's just, I'm going to tell a lot more stories and it's going to feel a lot more in service to people. And then hopefully that energetically also helps sell more.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we definitely have said that too, is you can just feel the complete shift that's been happening, especially in the like online
digital. And the education space.
Yeah, in the education
Definitely in the education space. It's a lot more, there's a lot more out there, right? I mean, I'm sure you've seen it. There's a lot more paths people can go down starting a product-based business. Are you going to sell something digital? Are you going to take a course where you then resell the course, right? There's just so many different paths people can go down to start their own business that I feel like, and we're seeing it in our DMs and our conversations. They're like, I've done this, this, and this. Like, how do I know this is actually going to work? So people are on information overload. And I think we're seeing like the come down from it. You know?
I completely.
I think that's like the question that, you know, I ask my other friends that are digital marketers. You know, one thing I did say this morning was it feels like people want more interaction. They want more life component. So whether I teach something, because it wasn't taught live. And I think that was the biggest gap. I think from 2020, we showed up every day. And there was like definite fatigue for coaches and leaders because we were just like, how do we make you all survive this whole thing? And then it felt like it was raining, right? Like everybody wanted a course and like they were in. And then for us, at least, we took away the live question component. Like we kept taking away, which was partially a partnership conversation that we had. Like, I love coaching. That's my business. That's what Designer Consulting Co-op was. But from the energy level of my partner, like it was something where we couldn't keep doing it in that. Now I'm trying to refigure out how I can have the capacity to hold this big of a company and still have this like live component to it or somewhat of a coaching component where it still makes sense financially for our business. Because people don't realize how much it costs all of us to facilitate free Facebook groups or show up live, right? They're like, well, I should just get it. And it's like, well, you just paid $37 for that product. You know? So I think that's the next stage of like, well, what do the people need? What do they need? And what is going to get them to the like a successful place where they know, like, and trust you, but also what do they need? And I feel like there's a lot more of that like personal interaction, whether it's in-person events. I'm doing in-person masterminds these days, like one-off day masterminds, things like that, where I'm just connecting more with people again.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I was going to say, she's like paralleling exactly how we're feeling last year, this year. Yeah. The same exact thing is happening in our business. And that's what we're finding is the accountability aspect. People are actually asking us like, I need more accountability. I need somebody to help me in this path. And again, we had the same thing happen in 2021 and 2022, where we did feel like it was just so easy. People wanted the course, give them all the information. They want to start now. And people are like, no, I need somebody to help me. Yeah. Help me get to that next spot. So it's exactly what we're feeling too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we just shut down one of our like best programs to essentially transition and turn it more into that community. So like you have the course, you have all of that, you have the community, but then you have the live aspects with us, because that's just what people,
the accountability,
they're craving that. They're craving that connection more than ever before. I would love, because our audience really, it's a lot of people who are in the virtual assistant space working with product-based businesses. As we're on this, you know, topic of sales and marketing, I would love to learn more about like, what are you seeing that product-based business owners really need at the end of the day?
Yeah. So I'll tell you that that's probably one of the biggest, when we take a stand against something at the Product Boss, we're like, if you listen to service-based coaches, they're going to tell you, you need a personal assistant or not a personal, a VA to check your inbox.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That is not what product people need. So typically what happens with product people is there's two places that they're a bottleneck. They're either a bottleneck in the making and manufacturing perspective. So imagine an Etsy maker that is, you know, knitting hats. They can only knit as many hats before they personally hit capacity. And so they can't actually sell more than what they can knit in a day, let's say, for example. Yep. And that is a big reason why they will make decisions, like the makers will make decisions. I can't grow this business to $100,000 because I can't make more hats. And so part of my job is to show them how they can scale a handmade business, right? It doesn't have to be their own two hands. Mm-hmm. So that's one place. The second place actually does tend to be in fulfillment. So again, VAs aren't necessarily the right role for that. And I'll get into how VAs can help, but these are the two places. So fulfillment is getting the order, same thing, but I need to be knitting these hats. But now the orders are coming in and I have to like fill the orders and get them to the post office and get them sent out. Hmm. So, you know, but then if I talk to product people, the first thing they're like, I need someone to manage my social media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I knew you were going to say that. I'm like, I'm just waiting for social media.
Everyone thinks they need social media.
Yeah.
And in fact, in my program, I teach them how to grow a business without social media, which they're all like relieved at. Because if you think about it, product people a lot of times are introverts. They want to be behind their product. They do not want to be like a coach with their faces out. So I think VAs have to think about, what is the biggest pain point that product people have that have the ability to hire a VA? Mm-hmm. So what I would say and the things that I tell them that they actually need is like, they need to make more sales. Mm-hmm. So for example, in my program in Multi-Stream Machine, I teach how to sell wholesale, which means selling to other stores. And so a lot of times like, okay, great. Like this is how you do it. We have to find the stores. We have to contact the stores. So instead of being that like, hey, I can check your inbox. Mm-hmm. Is it, can you manage a project like that? Like what is that initial outreach to a store look like? Like, how do we research which stores we want to sell to? How do we find the buyers? Then how do we outreach those buyers and what do we send them? So it's this idea of like, where can you step in to help them reach their ideal customers? Mm-hmm. Because most of the time, now listen, if they're more advanced, they're making sales. Yeah, maybe at that point they have a lot of emails coming in and needing spreadsheets. But a lot of times they're kind of small baby businesses that aren't making as many sales and they actually need to reach more people. So anywhere that you can step in to help them reach more people, even if you're like, I can help you reach creators and influencers. So let's say they do want to grow on social. It's BS. Posting on social is going to like grow, right? Because Marky Mark Zuckerberg does not allow for organic growth. Like you have to pay for that. So the other version is like, I want to work with influencers and creators. You might say like, okay, great. Let me go find them for you. Mm-hmm. Let me go like do a whole spreadsheet of the top, like your dream 100 creators and then coming together with like what a plan would be of outreach and then how you would potentially set a partnership up. Because if you think about product people, they want to sell more and they also have to reach more people. And a lot of times they don't have the money for ads. And because the difference is product-based people, their money is tied up in inventory.
Yeah.
So it's not like I can just go on Coach for an hour and have all that extra money. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have to put it into candle wax and wicks and jars, and it sits on my shelf until I sell it.
Yeah.
So I think those are the, I would say as VAs, thinking, how can you help them reach more people, which would then help them make more sales. Mm-hmm. And that would be one of the first places. Like if I was coaching someone, I'd be like, go find a VA to help you with that part.
Mm-hmm. I love that so much because we always say, you know, what we teach is we use the word, like we use VA, how, you know, you're either using VA or freelancer. And the thing that we always focus on is solving bigger problems. And that's exactly what you said. Like, how can you be solving bigger problems for these businesses so you become more valuable and you're driving bigger results for them at the end of the day too. So
yeah.
I think that's really helpful to kind of see. And also I hope that that's starting to get people's brains going, that there's actually so much that's needed on the back end of these businesses too. It's not just the marketing. There's so many moving parts.
I do have another question though about marketing. You talked a little bit about lack of organic reach, and we get that, right? Yeah. Organic marketing is very, very challenging. Is there a type of marketing you really recommend to your students that you're like, hey, I would focus my time and attention here? I'm assuming product-based business, maybe you're dabbling a bit more in email marketing, but how do you kind of approach that?
Yeah, I say that there's three types of marketing. There's paid, organic, and partnerships, pop marketing. Paid is a lot of times, unless they have the funds, they can't really afford it. And then also you have to think they have goods on the back end that cost money. So ads is not ideal unless they know that they can sell a certain amount of money. And a lot of times they're like, well, I'll just do my ads myself. I'm like, you want to just throw your money out the door? Because you might as well. Just like, okay. Then organic is that idea of getting more eyeballs in an organic way without selling it. So yesterday, at the time of this recording, Meta crashed again.
Yep.
And I'm like, how many times have I told you all you need an email list?
Yes.
Email lists, you can make sales from. I have one student, she sold yarn, literal balls of yarn, and would make $30,000 when she sent out a newsletter.
Jeez, so, I would be sending them out every day. They would get tired of my newsletters.
Like, how many more yarn balls do I need? But it works. I mean, if we think about e-commerce, any of us, we've opted into somebody's email list, mm-hmm. like a product that we buy, Nike, whatever it is, we wanted 15% off that first order. And now we're in the inbox. And then they're telling us like new drop, new this, new that. So for sure, email marketing. And if you're going to be on social, you want it to convert. So the idea might be getting them to just opt into your email list. Mm-hmm. This is a huge issue with people who sell on Etsy. They do not have access to an email list. Yeah, so if Etsy shuts them down, they're out. Oh, that's another thing a VA could do is figuring out how to get them onto different platforms. So how do I get, like, I could help you get on Amazon. I could get your listings up on your Shopify site, like any of those sales conversion parts. And then partnership is kind of like that creator. It could be a partnership with creators and influencers, the way we see it. It could be partnerships with other brands. It could be pop-ups, right? So I think, but what I teach in Multi-Stream Machine specifically is how to get more eyes without needing to have a big audience. And you do that through selling on other sales channels. So people who bring in their own audience. So like if I'm sitting on the shelf of a store, that's how Kim Kardashian bought my stuff. Mm-hmm. She walked into a store and there was my stuff and they took a photo of her. So I didn't have to do any marketing efforts.
Awesome.
I just needed to get a store to buy me.
Yeah, I hope that has so many like wheels going mm-hmm. for people. I know that it does on my end. And
for sure.
I mean, we completely agree when it comes to email. We're Pinterest people. So, you know, Pinterest and email, that's definitely up our alley for sure. Yeah. I know we've talked a lot about like highs in business and all of that. And I think that we love sharing that, but we would love to know, was there ever a low point in business that ultimately led to something even better?
I mean, I did share that I've done a whole bunch of things, right? So I think there's always going to be lows. There's always going to be highs. One of the ways that I ended up getting into this space was that in my other company, in Designer Consulting Co-op, I had realized I was paying myself like, it's a $500,000 company, but I was paying myself $50,000 in salary, but I was $50,000 in debt. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I had never had a coach because online coaches and courses weren't happening when I was growing that part of my business. But I had found a podcast, found a coach like a decade into business. And she looked at my P&L with me and she's like, you're literally going into debt to pay yourself. Mm-hmm. There's got to be a better way to do this. And and at that point I was doing everything for everyone. And she's like, what if you just told them what to do and you had no responsibility to producing 2,000 silk robes that ultimately something's going to go wrong on because this is fashion. Right. So I was like, no one's ever going to just pay me to tell them what to do. Like I still have to do it all. but I had to look at my numbers and be like, I have this huge team. It's a really risky business because again, that silk robe thing is actually a real thing that happened. And then the person who was working for me, because I was bi-coastal, my husband's an actor. So he was in a Broadway show. I had two kids. I was still in LA. It was a whole thing. And I was in New York, and then she sends me a message and she's like, hey, I got offered another job. I'm going to leave in the next 6 weeks. And it was Christmas time and I could not hire anyone at Christmas. And I'm in New York and I'm like, what do I do with all these clients? So I really, at that point, had to make a decision.
Yeah.
I was bi-coastal. She was running my company with all my clients. So I sent an email to all of my client roster. And I was like, starting in January, I'm moving to this model. I'm no longer doing anything. I will give you all the sources that we use if you want me to keep coaching you. And honestly, the majority left, if not continued a little bit and then left. But in January, like I was freaking out December. And then January 5th, I booked my first client that paid me $2,500 a month just to tell her what to do for 3 hours a month.
Wow.
She's still my client. She's my last client. I love her. She's still paying me. Even though I have the product boss and it's huge and she's been all these stages with me. And then I had continued on with clients at that point where it was like, I could just tell them what to do. And if I hadn't gone through that of realizing I didn't have to do so much and I had already earned my place from being in business for over a decade, maybe the podcast wouldn't have happened because I would have doubted myself with I have to do it for them. Like, why would they pay me to not do it for them? And so I think that was probably one of the biggest shifts for me that then led to the business that I have now.
It's incredible. It's like breaking past the limiting beliefs. Yeah. And that's step number one, right? We say that all the time to our students is mindset is going to be like 80%, if not more, of being an entrepreneur. So if you can just push back the limiting belief like that you can't do it, like you're going to be successful as long as you take these action steps. So that's so, so cool. Oh my gosh.
I love that.
That's so great. I feel like that's like a great place to kind of wrap this up because I don't know what else we could say that would top that last thing you did.
Can I add to that part about the mindset?
Please,
no,
absolutely. No, please stop it.
So I grew up with a lot of scarcity. So always thinking I was going to, like, there were cases, like always thinking I was going to be homeless, that my dad was a massive gambler, abusive. It was like a whole bunch of stuff. So I grew up with all the scarcity stuff. And so when I started making money, my brain still was convinced it was all going to disappear and go away. Mm-hmm. So you would think that when I had $1 million in our company, that I was like, I'm finally safe. I don't have to worry anymore. I made it to $1 million. So before I only ever wanted to make it to 100,000. And it was mind blowing, right? I actually had to step it up and talk to my life coach weekly versus before that, we were meeting like twice a week because I was having panic attacks when we hit $1 million because it was like my brain and my body could not connect, you're safe, or it could not hold that. So I will tell everybody listening, if we are the biggest obstacle in our way, like it's us personally, it's our own silly minds that have gotten us this far and that have protected us from whatever we've been scared of. But I will shout it from the rooftops. I mean, I have my kids in therapy just because I think everyone needs therapy. Like everyone needs someone else to talk to or help them with their own mind and belief. And so that for me was my biggest turning point where I was like, I need more help. I need more mindset work. I need to keep working on me if I'm going to be able to hold the capacity of growing a business of this size. So you hit on the mindset and it's 100% the reason I'm this successful, I think.
And you guys, this is coming from somebody who has multi-million-dollar businesses. Yeah. Just let that sink in, right? Yeah. That no matter the phase of business, it's something you continually work on. And I think that's so great. Powerful. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for this. Okay. So as we finish this up, we do have a couple of rapid fire questions for you. So if you're ready, if you could have anybody play you in a movie, who would you choose?
I would choose Jason Momoa because I love his hair. We have similar hair. And the way he dresses is always so cool, but so chill. And that's basically me with like my Uggs and a robe. And like, if I don't have to be on camera, that would be me.
So we need to think about your movie title now too, because that's got a lot of things going on.
Aquawoman.
There you go. Wait, your husband's an actor, so if he has any ties,
right,
get this started.
Oh, so he's never going to introduce me because he knows that's like my one person I'd also leave him for. So.
That's awesome. I love it.
That is so great.
Oh my gosh. Okay. A question two. What is one thing you can never leave your house without, minus your phone?
Okay. Cuffs Couture started off as like a wrist wallet because I'm not the Mary Poppins bag. I don't want all the things in my bag, like the least weight possible best. So it's actually my Claire V large fanny pack. And you can wear it like crossbody, or you can wear it as a fanny pack. It's so cute. And if I could have it in every color, I would, because it's just like, throw it on. I just need my wallet and my phone, really. And then I'm done.
Oh my gosh, I need to look that up.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think if I've seen this before. I'm sure I have, but I'm going to go Google this afterward. Okay, that was so great. Today's episode, I feel like there were so many amazing, amazing takeaways. So I want people to be able to connect with you after this episode. Can you just let everybody know where they can do that?
Yeah, so you can listen anywhere you listen to podcasts, and it's The Product Boss Podcast. We hang out pretty much exclusively on Instagram, so at The Product Boss. And if you are a VA and you're looking for clients and you can help people in the product space, I'm always looking to connect. So just send me a DM and I'd love to see if, you know, we could be of service to that as well.
Amazing.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. This was so fun. And we will make sure to put all of the links below to your podcast and your Instagram.
Thank you, ladies.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. If you could go ahead and leave us a review and let us know what your biggest takeaway was, we'd really appreciate it. And we'd love to connect with you over on Instagram. I'm at EmilyVDW.
And I'm at Bree Galloway_.
See you next week.
Bye.